American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, June 22nd, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, PodcastAlley.com, Podcast.com, and Podcast Alley, as well every Thursday night at Second Life Node Archers, grid 15574666. And let's not forget that we are still broadcast, simulcast, well, it's broadcast anyway. If you've got a shortwave radio, you're tuning into Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. Holy cow, what an insane amount of stuff has been going on this week. I don't have a beautiful and talented co-host this week because he's got to go, you know, and do other things that are more important and hanging out with his buddy and all of his online friends. That's fine. That's so fine. But like the steadfast stone of ages, I am here to bring you the news you need to survive. So, starting off with, we've got, let's talk a little bit about Iran, and let's talk a whole lot about what people are not talking about, which is Iran. Why isn't every single major media news source going off the hook about Iran? There's some information that's coming out, but generally it's not being covered as well as it could be. There was a Slashdot article that went up on the page. I'm just going to read it to you. This is from the Slashdot site. People, we need your urgent help in Iran. We are under attack by the government. They stole the election, and now they're arresting everybody. They also filtered every sensitive web page, but our problem is that they can also block the SMS network and are scrambling satellite TVs. Please, can you help us set up some sort of network using our home wireless access points? Can anybody show us a link on how to install a small TV radio stations? Any suggestions for setting up a network? Please tell us what we are due. We are going to die in the nuclear war between Iran and the U.S. Now, what do we take away from this? What do we learn from this little thing here? Well, the first thing we learn is, first of all, you don't want to wait for a crisis to start planning for this kind of an event. If you're asking out in desperation how to set up networks before when something critical happens, you've waited too long. Not that I fault the people in Iran. I mean, they're having a hard enough go as it is. But we should look at this and we should learn from this, especially with the new laws that are bring it in, especially, you know, with the IPv6 and all this different stuff they got coming on. They're going to be trying to lock everything else down. That's the one downside about Web 2.0. Web 2.0 can be turned off really, really easily. And that's why shows like Newsreel are so important. It is the importance of free media cannot be overstated. It is vital. Vital that media remain free so that we can get objective information. Apparently now, I mean, there's all kind of talks going on. Reddit was saying that, hey, CNN, why don't you look on Twitter to get your information about Iran? And you know what? There's something to be said for that. If we can get real-time reports coming out of a country like that, hey, why not? So look at Iran, think about what's going on in Iran, and, you know, I don't know what the hell's going to happen over there. Okay, I really don't. I think this Ahmadinejad or whatever, that guy is crazier than a shithouse rat, okay? So, you know, hopefully he gets ousted, turned off, whatever's required, but somebody needs to take that guy out, because he's not doing any good for anybody over there right now. They got a, I mean, everybody knows the election was stolen, but do we have the right to go in there and do that? You know, Obama hasn't said nothing about it yet as of the recording of this show, so maybe on the weekend he'll come up and say something before Monday happens. But honestly speaking, do we have the right to just go in there and take out that dictator and install our own dictator? Well, I mean, it's never stopped us before. You know, it's never stopped us before. Maybe we should step in. Maybe we should intervene. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Luckily, I'm a Canadian. It's not really my call to make. And but, you know, hey, if I was in Iran, I had a rifle, I'd take a shot at him. What the hell? You know, it seems like there's probably enough Iranians who want this guy's head on a stick. But it's a very, very intense issue right now. So never mind how it's going to be resolved. What I would take away from that would be that we should definitely look at these ideas that are out there for, like, dark nets, under nets, our own networks. So in case something like this were to happen, some sort of similar flavor, we could at least make sure that there's communication flowing, and so that people who are smarter than I am can make concrete and sharp decisions on exactly what to do. So let's get into some feedback. Hey, Sim and Sean. First, Sim, congrats on getting married, which, incidentally, I think this is what he's doing. I think he's spending quality time with the Wiffa tonight. Have you ever seen the documentary Sir No Sir, which is today's Recomedia, by the way, guys? I have not seen it. It's a documentary about how it was the U.S. soldiers themselves who brought the Vietnam War to an end, not the hippies. They organized, creating their own media and meeting places, and subverted the suicidal orders of their commanders. Taking inspiration from Sir No Sir, anti-war veterans and allies have started setting up anti-war GI coffee houses in the towns outside of U.S. domestic military bases. Dangerous stuff, getting close to treason. You want to be careful with this. However, there is the Different Drummer Cafe outside of Fort Drum, New York, home of the 10th Mountain Division, Coffee Strong outside of Fort Lewis, home of the 1st Infantry Division, and Under the Hood outside Fort Hood, home of the 3rd Corps. So if you're in one of those bases, those are the coffee shops you want to head to. These coffee houses provide those soldiers with alternative viewpoints and a place to get off base, relax, and talk with like-minded folks. They offer free counseling resources, help with getting legal help, and more. Also, they do a lot of work to help soldiers who aren't in a good headspace reintegrate to society, because the military doesn't give a damn once they're out, which, unfortunately, is the case. Isn't that unfortunate? But that's kind of how the way it is. While I don't always agree with you with everything, dude, you know, it's impossible for you to agree with me on everything, because I change my mind every 15 minutes anyway. You probably won't agree with me on all my stuff. Oh, I promise you I wouldn't agree with you on all your stuff, but give me time. Eventually I'll agree on everything, but it just won't be all at the same time. I'm pretty sure we're definitely on the same side. In any broad movement to change, the world needs space inside it to discuss the direction of movement. Hope things are well. Keep doing what you're doing. And that is from Trotsky's Ghost. Well, There you go. Trotsky, you know, I'm not a real big fan of a lot of socialist stuff, and I've read other stuff from Trotsky. He goes, smart guy. Maybe some of his philosophy and my philosophy don't jive, but I don't think we'd shoot each other over it. We'd probably just sit there and look at each other across the table going, you're a dick. No, you're a dick. That's exactly what it would be. And isn't it great that we live in a day and age when you can communicate with people on such a juvenile level and nobody has to die? Got some more feedback. Dear Sean, brackets, and Sim, whenever I listen to Newsreel and shows like it, part of me gets a little nervous. Do you ever worry that whenever you report on a story about some new tech and then describe some sinister way the corporaticals could utilize it for sinister means, you might be giving them those ideas? Like, the tech could have been created for some benign, unrelated purpose, and then the corporaticals hear your theory and realize, we didn't think of that before. Let's totally do that now! I just feel more comfortable when you report on stories that say, here's what they have, and here's what they're doing it, rather than the ones where the story only tells, here's what they have, and then you add your own conjecture. It's kind of like how the groups like the CIA and the FBI will tap fiction writers like Tom Clancy to help out what the bad guys might be up to, since the authors have better imaginations. The overlords may look to conspiracy theorists to give them ideas on what they could do. I love what you do, and I suppose that it's a risk we take in order to keep other people aware and prepared for all possibilities. I just wonder if you've considered that, as I have. Loyal fan since 2001, the Grey Ghost. Well, you know, Grey Ghost, first of all, I admire your optimism. I really, really do. I remember when I was that optimistic, but I, of course, am, you know, an unbelievable cynic. I am so incredibly cynical that, first of all, you have to understand the mind of the evil core political is not something that a WOG can do easily. This is, you know, WOGs are a different sort of material than the you know, the core political supervillain. The core political supervillain is this twisted golem-esque thing driven by a desire for money, whereas WOGs have appreciation for things such as, you know, music, culture, art, you know, love, all that kind of stuff, right? So in order to enter into that mind space, it actually has taken me quite a while to be able to look at a news story, see, well, why are they, because there's lots of news stories, so why are these news stories coming out? So quite often I look at these stories and they're kind of like, you know, when you had to ask permission for something. Remember when you were a teenager? Maybe some of you are teenagers now. If you're a minor, don't listen to the show. I say naughty words. But if remember when you were a teenager and you were going to go over to your buddy's place because they're going to have like this big party, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go over to Bob's, and then that would, and your parents would either say, yeah, okay, or no, that's fine. But you know, if they ask a lot of questions, you don't, you're not lying to them, right? You just say, I'm going to Bob's. Bob's having, you know, hookers and blow over all weekend because, hey, they got the parents are gone and he found a bag full of money. But I'm just going over to Bob's. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what they're doing with these news stories, right? They're giving us, oh, hey, we invented this thing that it's a chip that you put in your head that has a suicide bomb on it. It's only for criminals, though. Okay, is that cool? Yeah, okay, bye. And that way, when it comes out later, they're like, well, I don't know what all the big fuss is. I mean, we talked about this like 2 years ago. This has been inside the public consciousness for quite some time, and it hasn't drawn a lot of fire because, you know, all of our corporate paid media hasn't actually questioned us on this. You know, we only answer the questions that we want to answer on, yeah, meh, 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 wah, 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 wah. And that's how they play the game. So it's up to me and people just like me to look at these stories and go, hang on, hold everything. There's really kind of limited usage for a suicide implantable chip that releases bombs inside your head. It's kind of only a one-trick pony there. So, you know, we want to be sort of aware of that. So I appreciate your optimism. I know that the core politicals are listening, but I promise you they're not going, gah, that's a good idea. They're going, gah, I wish you wouldn't be telling all these people this. Somebody list them as a kook. I think the fact that I've been so heavily ignored is very, very fortunate. Really. It's very, very fortunate that I have been so totally, totally ignored by everyone but the WOGs. I feel very kind of blessed about it. There was a time when I was like craving the fame and fortune, and now I look at what fame and fortune does to web activists. Like, you know, if Anonymous, you know, gave me a call or wanted to, you know, do a film segment with me, I would probably run to the hills because, I mean, you know, they're not going to get Anonymous, so they're going to come gunning after me with both fire barrels, and you know, and let's be real. 10 years ago, I was talking about how Scientology was the shittiest thing ever in the history of the world. So you know, whatever. Glad everybody else is caught up. Glad it's all caught on, and we will eventually win this war. On to sort yourself out, dear Sean. I just got a deal to read a book on tape for some money. How do you prepare your voice for such a thing? From WOG of War. Well, WOG of War, buddy, congratulations on getting a voice acting gig. That's always a good time. I don't really have a method to practice my voice. I mean, this is really how I sound. People who've met me and have talked to me, you know, I mean, this is what I do. I would say I would drink a lot of water. Stay away from milk when you're doing it. Don't eat a lot, so you want to keep your saliva there. And do it in short bursts. If you're going to do read for money, don't do like the whole book. But by the time you get through the second chapter, you know, you're going to be totally hurting. Okay, so, what's worse is that if you read like, say you only read a couple pages at a time, but it must be uniform. Okay, you have to keep it uniform throughout the entire book. So, you know, absolutely. Not much I can do there. Probably just, you know, yell a lot, talk a lot. But more than anything else, you just don't be reading the book like blah, 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 blah. You have to, you know, don't be Noam Chomsky when you're reading this thing. You have to have a little bit of intonation, do the little voices, put the effort in. Because after all, hey, you're reading a book. Somebody put a lot of effort into that book. So know the book. That's the other thing, too. Know the book. Read the book before you read it out loud. Because if you don't do that, it's kind of insulting to both your audience and to the author who probably spent just way too much time writing the damn thing. So, you know, just, you know, put some effort in, do the best job you can, and, hey, you gotta do it in short bursts. That would be the number one piece of advice out of all that crap. Yeah, don't eat peanut butter and read it in short bursts. Thanks for calling. Now let's get into the insanity that is the news. Oh my God. Do I ever have a ton of news for you guys this week. Holy crap. The Australian Communications Regulator and Oz censorship news. Okay. The Australian Communications Regulator says, Australian Regulations Communicator says it will fine people, okay, who hyperlink to sites on its blacklist, which has been further expanded to include several pages on the anonymous whistleblower site WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is added to the blacklist for publishing leaked document containing Denmark's list of banned websites. A move by the Australian Communications and Media Authority comes after it threatened to host of online broadband discussion forum Whirlpool last week with an $11,000 a day fine over a link published in the forum to another page blacklisted by the ACMA, an anti-abortion website. ACMA's blacklist does not have a significant impact on web browsing by Australians today, but sites contained on it will be blocked for everyone if the federal government implements its mandatory internet filtering censorship scheme. Now, the thing that's scary here is that they're talking about fining you $11,000 a day for putting a hyperlink on your website. That's insane. That's totally nuts. That makes no sense. Even without the mandatory censorship scheme, as is evident with the Whirlpool case, ACMA can force sites hosted in Australia to remove prohibited pages and even links to prohibited pages. Online civil liberties campaigners have seized on the move by the ACMA as evidence of how casually the regulator adds to its list of blacklisted sites. It also confirmed fears that the scope of government censorship's plan could easily be expanded to encompass sites that are not illegal. The first rule of censorship is that you cannot talk about censorship, WikiLeaks said on its website in response to the ACMA ban. The site has also published Thailand's internet censorship list and noted that in both Thai and Danish cases, the scope of the blacklist has been rapidly expanded from child porn to other material, including political discussions. Already, the significant portion of the 1,370-site Australian blacklist 506 sites would be classified R18 and X18, which are legal to view, would be blocked for everyone under the proposal. The government said it would be considering expanding the blacklist to 10,000 sites and beyond. Electronic Frontiers Australia said the leak of the Danish blacklist and the ACMA's subsequent attempts to block people from viewing it showed how easy it would be for the ACMA's own blacklist, which is secret, to be leaked out onto the web once it's handed to the ISPs for filtering. We note that not only do these incidents show that the ACMA censors are more than willing to interpret their broad guidelines and to include a discussion forum and document repository, it's demonstrably inevitable that the government's own list is bound to be exposed itself at some point in the future, the EFA said. The government would serve the country well by sparing themselves and us this embarrassment. Last week, Reporters Without Borders, in its regular report on enemies of internet freedom, placed Australia on its watch list of countries imposing anti-democratic internet restrictions that could open the way for abuses of power and control of information. The main issue raised was the government's proposed internet censorship regime. So the report demolished the communication minister's contention that Australia is just following other comparable democracies. Greens communicated spokesman Senator Scott Lunan said, "We are not. The government is embarking on a deeply unpopular and troubling experiment to fine-tune its ability to censor the internet." I agree with Reporters Without Borders. If you consider this kind of net censorship in the context of Australia's anti-terrorist laws, it paints a disturbing picture indeed. Now, this is interesting because, you see, back in the day, I have a little bit of personal experience with something like this. Now, what are they using? What are they using here to get everybody to be all signing on board with this? Well, it's child porn, right? They want to protect the children. We got to protect the children. Now, back in the day, when we were running cult, there was a time when we held a little thing called the witch hunt. And those of you out here that remember that, it was my own little personal war against pedophiles and child pornography. And the idea was we were just going to go out there and start, you know, denial of service, hacking, black hat tricks, whatever was necessary to start taking down any kind of child pornography that we could find. Like, utterly destroy it, shut off power to their houses. We're talking really, really bad stuff. Unfortunately, we didn't find anybody, and no one ever actually did anything. So that's too bad, because it would have been a nice idea. But while I was promoting this, I got contacted by a couple of organizations who were involved with hunting child predators. That was their job. And they asked me to stop. They asked me to stop shutting down these websites because it's because of these websites they're able to find the child predators. So when you think about this, like when you're shutting off access to child porn and they say, we're protecting the children. Well, wait now, hold it. Children are not looking at child porn. Okay, so what children are you protecting? Are you protecting the children in the child porn? No, because that's a past tense. That's documentation of a crime. So you're not protecting them. What exactly is... And actually, you're making it harder to catch people who are into child porn. So I look at that and I go, whilst I'm fully in favor of, you know, killing pedophiles and people involved with child porn, and I mean that. I really, honest to God, believe in killing pedophiles and people involved with child porn, just in case you tuned into the show for the first time. But really, you're not protecting anyone with these laws. You're not protecting anybody. Maybe you're protecting your own sensibilities because suddenly you don't see the fact that there are children being exploited in poor regions all over the world, and you know you don't want to. It's like changing this channel when Sally Struthers comes on with the starving kids. You don't want to look at that. You don't want to see the fact that Africa is completely bitched right now. You don't want to know that 1 in 4 men in Africa are rapists and 1 in 10 have actually been raped by other men. You don't need to know that shit. You know, you'd rather watch some more Friends or maybe reruns of Seinfeld or whatever god awful show they're running now. I mean, honestly, are these laws making the internet safer for children? No, they're not. No, they are not. You know, and it's retarded that they think it would. So, you know, let's not beat around the bush. It's all bullshit. It's censorship. And unfortunately, it's not just limited to Australia. In German censorship news, Germany is on the verge of censoring its internet. The government, a grand coalition between German Social Democrats and the Conservative Party, seems united in its decision on Thursday. The parliament is to vote on an erection of an internet censorship architecture. Erection. The Minister of Family Affairs, Ursula von der Leyen, kicked off the lead discussions with the German federal government to block the internet sites in order to fight child pornography. Oh, that'll stop it! The general idea is to build up censorship architecture enabling the government to block content containing child pornography. Well, how about this? How about instead of, like, throwing a blanket over it and pretending it's not there, why don't you just give GSG9, like, I don't know, carte blanche to deal with anyone in Europe, sign a massive federal agreement so that you've got to, you know, the GSG9 can go anywhere inside of Europe and pursue, you know, pedophiles and shoot them. On, you know, G36, back of the head, silenced. You know, just a little bit. Maybe just a bit. You know, I think it's better than sticking your head in the sand. I'm just saying. The Federal Office of Criminal Investigations, BKA, is to administer the lists of sites to be blocked, and the internet providers obliged to erect a secret censorship architecture for the government. A strong and still growing network opposing these ideas quickly formed within the German's internet community. The protest has not been limited to hackers and digital activists, but rather the mainstream effort widely supported by bloggers and Twitter users. The hashtag used by protesters, Zensursula, Zensursula, a German mashup of the minister's name and the word equivalent to censurla, as part of the public's protest to an official e-petition directed to the German parliament, was launched. Within 3 days, 50,000 people signed the petition. The number required for the petition titled "No Indexing," the number required for the petition titled "No Indexing and Blocking of Internet Sites" to be heard in Parliament. The running time of an e-petition in Germany is 6 weeks, with this time over 130,000 people signing to make this e-petition the most signed and most successful ever. Okay, so that's something. I mean, it's something. During this last week's protest, protests became more and more creative. Countless blogs and Twitter users followed and commented on discussions within governments and many opposing armies. Many mainstream media picked up on the reported about the protests taking place online. A working group on censorship was founded and a protest coordinated with a wiki mailing list, chats, and, of course, employing Twitters and blogs. So it goes on. Now, I wonder, though, is any of that going to make a difference? You know, is that going to really make a difference? Because, I mean, there's lots of Twittering and blogging going on in Iran. Doesn't seem to be making a whole lot of difference there. Why? Because, well, you know, it's about force, isn't it, really? The supreme authority from which all other authority is derived. So, unfortunately, don't ever get too proud of, you know, all these lovely petitions and noise that we can make online. Because unless somebody's willing to stand up for it and actually take a real stand, it's never actually going to get passed. So it's a very sticky situation, but definitely the first step is to get, communication up. So this goes right back. And unfortunately, the Germans aren't stopping there. In more German censorship news, this is from Fat Ninja. German ministers have agreed to ban the production and distribution of all violent video games, with the law only having to go through parliament within the next few weeks. So it's got to get through parliament. According to the German website Chip Online, and supported by Spiegel Online, ministers of the interior of all 16 German federal states came together for a conference today in Bremerhaven, where they agreed to forbid the production and distribution of all video games where the main part is to realistically play the killing of people or other cruel or unhuman acts of violence against humans or man-like creatures. So, you know, that latest German release of Doom, where you're like the space marine running around with a chainsaw killing furries? Yeah, can't do that. Man-like creature. Sorry, can't do that. The country, mind you, if you get that game, I want to play it. The country has been infamously hard on violent video games before now, but an outright ban would result in a huge loss for video game industry as one of its most successful European countries. The law would result in no Call of Duty, no God of War, no Crisis, no World of Warcraft, no Bioshock, no Uncharted, no Grand Theft Auto, no fun, no time. At no point. It will suck. Their entire video game industry will die. Because think about it. Think about the last video game you played where you weren't killing men or manlike. Left 4 Dead, gone. Left 4 Dead is gone. Zombie games, gone. Any kind, you know, holy crap, dude. Holy crap, dude. It's a pretty bad scene. It's a pretty bad scene over there right now in Germany. They got the internet laws coming in. They're going to lock it down. It's basically like, what if Focus on the Family got into global power? That's sort of what's going on here inside of the global specter. And I for one, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think that everyone's, instead of trying to make the world go forwards, everyone's trying to make the world go backwards. Like, it seems like everyone's looking at, like, the Islamic fundamentalist world, going, hey, you know, there's, like, a couple of billion people who are Islamic fundamentalists, where they took this whole, like, idea and, like, just applied it to their whole lives. What if we could, like, create, you know, Islam 2.0? What if we could rip off Islam, create like some sort of a thought meme that we could sell to everybody, kind of like Scientology did, only better, and that way we could like hook our cultures on this mindset, and we could have one like unified planet, which, you know, no one steps out of line and everyone's just a cog in a machine, and we can use that to march forward in time and space, kind of like the Borg, only it's the illusion of choice. Now, on the surface of that, doesn't sound too bad, really. I mean, you know, get to space, no more war. Hey, but I wonder, what does it mean to be human? What is it about us that makes us human? What is it that allows us to express ourselves? What difference is there between us and, you know, robots? Well, we have self-expression. You know, we think. I think, therefore I am, and all that good stuff. So, unfortunately, I'm not entirely sure that there's ever going to be a model, even if they bring the whole planet together under one giant banner. There's always going to be people who are part of the resistance. There's always going to be wogs who are sneaking outside to smoke a cigarette and to listen to newsreel, and that's what's going to be happening, you know, hopefully. And I'll tell you right now, you should quit smoking cigarettes. Depends what's in the cigarette. No, seriously, you should not smoke. Anyway, kids, don't do drugs. Who turned off the water? Speaking of cigarettes, this story was sent in by Nicotine. Very good story. Now, did you know about this? Now, there's the letter I got, which I didn't hear anything about this. Did you hear anything about this? Did you see anything about this? Dear Sean, the feds have shut off 95% of the water to thousands of people in the West San Quentin Valley without notice or public review. What? NOAA Marine Mammal Biological Endangered... The NOAA Marine Mammal Biological Agency used the Endangered Species Act to protect the salmon in the area waterways that are a major food source for the Pacific killer whale population. This draconian act has caused the immediate closure of farm ranches and the loss of water to several small communities. The resulting unemployment in some areas is 50%, and the people affected marched on the pumps in protest. Some 5,000 workers and farm owners were met with law enforcement at the pumps. Yesterday, June 15th, 300 or so farmers blocked I-5 at Manning Road exit with tractors and trucks, resulting in at least one accident, with a possible fatality being blamed on the act of civil disobedience. NOAA did this without peer review, public hearing, or any warning. They just turned off the water. The link below is to a radio archive interview, blah, 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 blah. A federal employee was issued on the court. So this is what's going on, and on the website you'll see there's a link to it. But that's what happened. They just sort of turn off the water. Now, a lot of people are going to be like, well, Sean, you know, it's important that we protect the environment. And I'm kind of, this is why I don't agree with Paul Watson. And a lot of people might be upset, you know, the whole whaling, you know, sea shepherd thing that he's got on the go. I mean, it's his right to kind of, to try and do that. You know, if he thinks that he can go and do that, that's fine. But unfortunately, here's where me and Sim probably differ. I am a human supremacist. I am completely a human supremacist. I don't care if, you know, what type of human you are. You can be red, black, white, green, yellow, blue, purple, whatever. You got a human skull. Thanks for calling. You're on my team, okay? So, since humans are, you know, the dominant species on the planet, I think that humans should really have priority over things like salmon, whales, whatever. I don't care. I think that, honest to God, I really believe that humans should have dominion over the planet. Yeah, that's just kind of how I'm rolling. So, you know, the fact that you're going to cut off water and power, well, cutting off water, I mean, is bad enough, to a bunch of farmers in California, that's not cool. That's not even cool, like, a little bit. So, and you know, the weird thing is you got to think that if they shut off water to, like, whole towns, why isn't that in the news? Why don't we hear about that? And it's not just water. What about the food supply? What if they start? If they could just turn off food and water, what do we got going on? Well, of course, they got to be able to, you know, scare you a little bit about food. This is an interesting story here. This is one of those stories I get every now and again. I look at this story and I go, uh-huh. What is this story really about here? And weaponized food news. Okay, you ready for this one here? The spores arrived from Kenya on a dried infected leaves and scoured in layers of envelopes. Working inside a biosecure greenhouse outfitted with motion detectors and surveillance cameras, government scientists at the Central Disease Laboratory in St. Paul, Minnesota, suspended the fungal spores in a light mineral oil and sprayed them onto thousands of healthy wheat plants. After 2 weeks, the stalks were covered with deadly reddish blisters, characteristic of the scourge known as UG-99. Nearly all the plants were goners. Crop scientists fear that UG-99 fungus could wipe out more than 80% of worldwide wheat crops as it spreads from eastern Africa. It has already jumped the Red Sea and traveled as far as Iran. Experts say it's poised to enter the breadbasket of northern India and Pakistan, and the wind will inevitably carry it to Russia, China, and even North America if it doesn't hitch a ride with people first. It's a time bomb, said Jim Peterson, a professor of wheat breeding and genetics at the Oregon State University in Corvallis. It moves in the air. It can move in clothing and on an airplane. We know it's going to be here. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take. Those most Americans have never heard of it. UG-99, a type of fungus called stem rust because it produces a reddish-brown flakes on plant stock, is the number one threat to the world's most widely grown crop. The International Maize of Wheat Improvement Centers in Mexico estimates that 19% of the world's wheat, which provides food for 1 billion people in Asia and Africa, is in imminent danger. American plant breeders say $10 billion worth of wheat could be destroyed if the fungus suddenly made its way to U.S. fields. Fear that the fungus will cause widespread damage has caused short-term price spikes in world wheat markets. famine has been averted thus far, but experts say it's only a matter of time. So it's only a matter of time before, you know, famine and, yeah, well, that's great. Wait, this is wheat, right? Wheat's relatively new, isn't it? Like, can't you have a wheat-free diet? So really, a significant humanitarian crisis is inevitable, said Rick Ward, coordinator of the Durable Rust Resistance in Wheat Project at Cornell University at Ithaca, New York. The solution is to develop new wheat varieties that are immune to UG99. That's much easier said than done. Oh, I see. So we need to gen joke crops in order to defeat this red rust, you know, thing coming. I see what's going on. After several years of feverish work, scientists have identified a mere dozen half genes that are immediately useful for prototyping wheat from, that are immediately useful for protecting wheat from UG99. Incorporating them into crops using conventional breeding techniques is a 9 to 12 year process that's only just begun. And that process will have to be repeated for each of the thousands of wheat varieties that is specially adapted to a particular region and climate. All the seeds need to change in the next few years, said Ronnie Kaufman, plant breeder who heads the Durable Rust Resistance in Wheat Project. It's really an enormous undertaking. Well, isn't that a great way? Isn't that just a great way to, you know, make sure you're only growing licensed wheat, right? If you make it so that all the unlicensed wheat, you know, dies, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, really, you don't have to worry about your copyright because, you know, unless you're growing our wheat, your wheat's going to die. As well, you know, not to, you know, totally get conspiratorial with this, but you remember that guy, Alex Jones, smart guy, you know, kind of freaks out a lot, more than I do, which is really saying something. Well, he's got this whole idea that they're going to use the food supply to wipe out like 99% of the population. You know, this would be a good way to do it. You know, you just, there's food riots and stuff like that. That's a good way to melt her down. But, again, did you know about UG99? Because I didn't know shit about UG99, but you can bet I'm going to start trying to track that stuff now, and so should you. Now, this next story kind of pisses me off. Because, you know, last time I went to the dentist recently, and I got a couple fillings. And after they were done, they told me, oh, yeah, oh, well, we gave you some fillings, and I'm like, hey, there's no mercury in those fillings, is there? And everybody got real quiet. And they said, well, they're silver amalgam fillings. And, you know, as I got very pointed with my questions, eventually they told me that, yeah, we put mercury in your mouth. And I'm like, what the hell? And then they said, no, it's not bad for you. And I'm like, well, you know, I've got this internet here, and the internet tells me that it is, in fact, bad for me. So, not really too sure I'm super happy about that. But, you know, just in case you're wondering, in toxic dentistry news, for the first time, the FDA has issued a warning that the mercury contained in silver dental fillings may pose a neurological risk to children and pregnant women. Dental amalgams containing mercury, which have neurotoxic effects on the nervous system of developing children and fetuses, reads a statement that has been added to the agency's website. Pregnant women and persons who may have health conditions that makes them more sensitive to mercury exposure, including individuals with an existing high levels of mercury bioburden, should not avoid seeking dental care, but should discuss options with their health professional. The warning was one of the conditions of the FDA agreed to in a subtle lawsuit by several consumer health groups. Gone, gone, gone are all of the FDA's claims that no signs exist that amalgam is safe, said Charles Brown, lawyer for the Consumer for Dental Choice, one of the plaintiffs. It's a watershed moment, said Michael Bender, the Mercury Policy Project, another plaintiff. Mercury is a well-known neurotoxin that can cause cognitive and developmental problems, especially in fetuses and children. It can also cause brain and kidney damage in adults. The so-called dental amalgams, or fillings made with a mix of mercury and other metals, have been in use since the 1800s, although it is known that small amounts of mercury are vaporized and can be inhaled when the fillings are used to chew food. Although Canada, France, and Sweden have placed restrictions on the use of mercury fillings, the FDA has always insisted that the amalgams are safe. Well, hey, if Canada's got restrictions on those, maybe I'm okay. Let's hope. Dental amalgams are considered medical devices and regulated by the FDA. So, just in case you're wondering, it looks like those silver amalgams there, Yeah, it kind of looks like they really are full of mercury. All those crazy kooks on the internet who were saying that stuff before, well, they weren't lying to you. Doesn't that suck? But keeping within the medical theme, let's move on to some body bank news. Hey, gotta like the body banks, as foretold inside of the outstanding television show, Max Headroom. Which, if you haven't watched Max Headroom, go back, watch it now. It's 20 minutes in the future, and it's awesome sauce dipped in win. This research isn't something that might happen in the distant future. It's being used today to grow fresh organs, open up new ways to study disease in the immune system, and reduce the need for organ transplants. Organ farming laboratories are popping up across the planet, showing impressive results. Here we look at the state of the union of a rapidly advancing field called tissue engineering, and what's been accomplished so far, and what's right around the corner. Patients who undergo organ transplants require loads of toxic drugs to suppress their immune systems, otherwise the body might reject the organ. But tissue engineering could make organ transplants a thing of the past. By using a patient's cells to grow new types of tissue in the lab, researchers are finding new ways to custom engineer your new body parts by using your own cells. So essentially, they take your cells, grow you a new body, and you're good to go. At the cutting edge of organ engineering is TenGen, a clinical stage biotech company based out of Philadelphia. The most successful research to date led in the creation of the Neo Bladder. TenGen takes some of your cells, grows them in a culture of 5 to 7 weeks around a biodegradable scaffold. When the organ is ready, it can be transplanted without the need to suppress the patient's immune system because the organ was grown from the patient's own cells. It carries no risk of rejection. Once the organ is in, the scaffold degrades and the bladder adapts to its new/old home. The TenGen Neo Bladder is a phase 2 testing, meaning that they've already implanted the organ into individuals and study how the body adapts to it. After 5 years, the company is able to show that the homegrown organs are safe and effective, capable of treating the bladder effects of spina bifida, a neural tube effect that affects bladder function, among other things. After another round of phase 2 trials, TenGen will move on to phase 3 testing. After that, the Neo Bladder should be approved and to be made commercially available. Wow. So what else are they talking about? TenGen's Neo Bladder is nearing completion of its clinical trials, but they weren't the first to grow one. If anyone on Earth deserves the job title organ farmer, it's Dr. Anthony Atla. He and his research team at Wake Forest University Medical Center pioneered the world's first lab-grown bladder, and they remain at the forefront of organ-growing field. Atla, who's also the chairman of TenGen's Scientific Advisory Board, Wake Forest is the world's largest regenerative research center, and their current research is growing 22 types of different types of tissue, heart valves, muscle cells, arteries, and even fingers. So how many different types of organs have been grown and transplanted? Lab-grown bladders are among the only transplants of an entire organ, but a wide variety of partial organ transplants have taken place. Skin cells are regularly grown in culture and grafted onto patients' bodies. A graft was grown from a patient's trachea cells and transplanted to replace part of her airway that had degraded due to disease. Cartilage has been grown and transplanted into a patient's knee. A number of technologies are under development but have yet to be transplanted into human bodies. Recently, Dr. Nicholas Kotov and his lab, University of Michigan, engineered artificial bone marrow, a task that previously was doomed to failure. Kotov and his colleagues quickly realized that in the body, stem cell differentiation relies on chemical signals in 3 dimensions, whereas in a petri dish it takes place in 2 dimensions. This insight led to a new methodology more closely replicating the natural environment of stem cell differentiation and bone marrow tissue. So what they're doing now is they're able to grow more organs and replace them. So that's great if you got money. If you got a lot of money, you could stay alive a long time, which kind of makes me think about like the concept of sleeving that Richard Morgan talked about in his book Woken Furies. He's got a series of them. But Richard Morgan talks about the concept of like basically sleeving yourself where, you know, you can download your consciousness or soul, if you like, into a body that's already there. So, you know, why not just take my body out, grow me a new body, and I'll just, you know, slowly move over my neurological set. And we'll be good to go. I mean, why not? You know, that's a good idea. Well, let's not get into that right at this moment, but I think it's something to keep on the horizon. And not often I do this, but I do have a public service announcement for an organization that I think you might want to look into. It's a group called the Sea Arg. And thanks very much to Mind Inversion for sending me this story. The cult, known as the Church of Scientology, has made many victims over the years, and perhaps even more enemies. Most notable are the attempts of Project Chanology that educate people about the wrongdoings of the self-proclaimed religion, which it is not. It's actually a vicious, money-grubbing, psychotic cult. With denial of service attacks against Scientology's various websites and viral YouTube videos, they made it very clear they are determined to dismantle the church. As of today, they are announcing a new round of attacks that will be pirate-themed with pirate support. Yarr! In true pirate style, the Pirate Bay has decided to back an operation with a banner linking to Anonymous' latest campaign, Operation Sea Arg 2, on their homepage. New protests on and offline will be executed soon, starting this very weekend. Our next pirate protests are all pirate-themed. Our flyers and material will mostly be about their ship, the Freewinds, and the many abuses that have taken place on there. Then, of course, the rest of the scams and atrocities they've committed and continue to perpetrate, Anonymous told Torn Freak. Operation Sea Arg 2 Cruise Control is the latest in an ongoing series of protests Anonymous has organized against the Church of Scientology in its continuing mission to educate people about the criminal behavior and unethical tactics of the cult's management. And I think they just got banned in Australia, too, because they were preying on people looking for drug help with the organization Narconon, which is nothing more than a cover group to try to, bring people into Scientology. They prey on the weak and the wounded. We appeal to all our fellow pirates, because this is and always been a battle of the internets. And we believe many file-sharing pirates out there share our ideology for an open society where information can be free, Anonymous said. So, pirates, set tail towards Sea Arg to find out more about Operation Sea Arg 2 and be more about protests, and hear more about the protests near you in the forums. Arrgh! So, definitely want to check that out. Then that's Sea Arg, A-A-R-R-R-G-H. Okay, that's how Arg is spelled. So, definitely, you're going to want to go and check that out. All right. As well, Bucky Fuller sent me in a story about some growing listeners' license material. Of course, I want to regulate all. You know, remember that thing about in Iran where they, you know, everybody could just turn off the radios, filter everything because, you know, they control the choke points. Well, the AACS AACS Licensing Authority, which licenses the AACS Content Protection Scheme, read the DRM, uses in high-definition Blu-ray discs, okay, so that's what we're talking, has released the terms of its AACS Final Adopter Agreement online. Buried in its 188-page of cryptic terms are details of what the AACSLA is calling analog sunset, an eventual phasing out of analog output of AACS-protected content. Aha! The goal of this phasing out is to plug the analog hole, whereby digital content can be copied by redigitizing the analog output of a Blu-ray player. For instance, digital signals transmitted over HDMI are already protected by the HDCP scheme, which provides encryption between players and HDTVs and monitors. The terms of agreement state that the AACS license must limit analog output to interlace SD resolution, composite video, S video, 480i component video, 576i video, for any device manufactured after December 31st, 2010. Then, after December 31st, 2013, no device that can decrypt AACS content can be made with any analog output whatsoever. So, after 2013, they're going to try to like shut down anything that's analog output. So you have to try to, and then of course you're not going to be able to record anything. So that's their plan. That's how they're going to do it. This gives me, you know, this always makes me think of when they try to make you send in your old cell phones. You remember that? You know, you always get those things where it's like, hey, send us your old cell phone. We'll take that back from you and make sure it gets recycled. Yeah, I don't buy that. Okay, I don't buy that. I think that I think it's a good idea to maybe keep your eye out for something that'll play anything, put out an analog, buy like three of them, shove it up in your closet, and that way you've got, you know, your backup, which is always a plan. It's good to have a backup. Okay, let's talk about body armor. Let's talk about body armor in relation to Cyberpunk Kit. Now, this has been out for a while. I don't know how I missed this one. Very embarrassing. I'm talking about D3O, which is like silly putty that you can hit with a shovel. It's great stuff. Super flexible, but the minute you impact it, it turns hard. Now, we've seen this stuff before, but this is the first stuff that's commercially available from the website. What is D3O, and how does it work? D3O is an intelligent shock-absorbing material containing intelligent molecules that flow freely when moving slowly, but on shock, locked together to absorb impact energy. And what this guy did is he put some of this stuff in his elbow pad, and then had Buddy hit his elbow with a shovel, and it was like, pang, like nothing. So, very, very interesting. D3O does not go hard when you hit it. The molecules lock together, acting a bit like a net that both absorbs and spreads the force. You would not actually want something that is protecting you to go hard instantly because it would hurt. Imagine you're catching a cricket ball, basketball. If you catch it with floppy arms, the ball would hit your chest, the foam would bottom out. If you catch a ball with rigid arms, like a hard shell or solid material, the ball will hurt when it hits your hands, transferring the force through your arms. If you catch the ball using your muscles to push back against the force of the ball, you will spread it, absorb it most effectively. This is like the D3O. So very, very interesting stuff. And it's been, there's a link to it there, some testing that's done. The one that I link to is a Japanese site. But you'll find some other stuff online. And you can buy this stuff commercially now. It is available for all your wonderful prototyping needs. And today's daily hack is something that I thought was pretty sweet and definitely very handy for this day and age where you have to keep track of our Wi-Fi and what's going on with that. We're talking about the Ekahau Heat Mapper. The Ekahau Heat Mapper is a free software tool, free software tool for quick and easy coverage mapping of Wi-Fi 802.11 networks. It's the only free, easy-to-use tool that shows on a map the wireless network coverage in your home or small office. HeatMapper also locates all access points. HeatMapper also provides real-time view to all access points and their configuration. HeatMapper uses your built-in wireless network adapter, therefore all you need is a Windows-based laptop with wireless, and it takes just 1 minute to install. It shows all Wi-Fi coverage on a map, locates all access points, detects security systems to find open networks, designed for homes and small offices, free of charge with a 1 minute install, and that is today's daily hack. Let's not forget that your Recomedia this week is Sir No Sir, where it talks about how, you know, soldiers are people too, and, you know, sometimes when your government's going a little bit crazy, it's a good idea for the soldiers to get together and say, hey, is this nuts or what? I just wanted to make sure. That's how we avoid things like concentration camps. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate to this show, please do so by going to the Dark Atlas website and clicking on the subscribe tab. Okay, or you can go on to my live journal, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, and click on the subscription. There's donations there. Just get in there and don't donate. If you really want to commit and help out, subscribe to the show, $5 a month. You probably lose more than that in change in your car, and it goes a long way to help us out, let me tell you. But if you want to get an envelope to me, you can do that by sending it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you'd like to sign up for the Rant newsletter, please send an email explaining how much you like meat to info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And in honor of the Sea Arg and all those good people at the Pirate Bay, I'm going to fade out now with a track sent to me from Bucky Fuller, which is the Pirate Bay theme song, which is actually kind of nice. So it's I'll fade out with that one today to get you all warmed up to, you know, well, you know, the good old Sea Org guys and all their craziness. Maybe Paul Watson's got some use after all. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.
Don't write songs to make money. I write them for people to sing along. Don't write songs to make money. I write them for people to sing along. I write them.